Welcome back to another edition of the Pennsylvania Prisons and Parole Podcast. Alongside executive producer Kurt Bope, I'm your host, Ryan Tarkowski. Now, Kurt and I work in the press and communications office with the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. We answer questions from local and national media, and we also maintain a website with useful information for not only the press, but for also friends and family of our incarcerated population. There's tons of info on that site, everything from how to send an incarcerated person a letter to information on volunteering or performing in a state prison. But having a loved one in prison can be a stressful and confusing time, especially if this is a new experience. So to take some of the mystery out of the first few days, weeks, and months of incarceration, we've invited Miranda Brakebill to the show. Miranda works at SEI Camp Hill. It's the PADOC's Diagnostic and Classification Center for all males entering the DOC. Miranda's job title there is the Corrections Classification Treatment Manager. Miranda, thank you for joining us today. Let's start at the beginning. What is an inmate's first day at SEI Camp Hill like?
Well, thank you for having me. I am so excited to speak on this information and get this information out to the loved ones of those who are incarcerated to help them understand what it is that we do here and what they can look forward to with their incarcerated loved one here at Camp Hill. So basically what it looks like their first day here, they arrive at the facility and they will be assigned their Department of Corrections number. This is the DOC number that we will track them with throughout the whole time that they're incarcerated with us here in the Pennsylvania Department of Correction. Also, what will happen is once they process through our records department at the beginning in the reception housing unit, they will then be taken to what is called our reception actual housing unit, which is our block here at SEI Camp Hill. And at that time, we start the process of them meeting with medical department. They see the psychological department. They'll be afforded on their first day here a 5-minute free phone call that they can use that to call home to any one of their loved ones to let them know that they arrived here at SEI Camp Hill. And with that, located on each phone station, we provide them with the most important information that we think that they should provide to their family members so that they know how to reach out to them. So then basically what will happen is the offender will be housed on this reception housing unit for the next week or two. Always tell them 7 to 14 business days. And during this time, they're going to complete all the necessary testing that's required for them to be able to complete their classification. They'll see many different departments to include drug and alcohol, psychology, psychiatry, education, and the medical department. They'll also receive an orientation where they will be provided with their offender handbook. They'll be given envelopes and a typed up form letter that they can send home to their loved ones so they know exactly what their loved one is currently going through in the diagnostic classification process. There's a lot of information and a lot of different resources that we provide to them right at the front of the door. So a lot of times they get overwhelmed and they don't really know, like, what's important to send home to my family? What's important to let them know when I call home? And things like that. That's basically what we do on the first day, is set them up so that they know what we're going to be doing and start the process of the initial classification setup. Eventually, the classification process takes several months to occur.
So I want to talk about the classification process in a minute, but going back to those first couple of days and nights in the facility, it is interesting. I didn't know what you'd just told us, that all the new guys are kind of housed together in the beginning. They're not just immediately put into a typical general population housing block.
That is correct. They do come to a specialized housing unit down here where they stay for the first 7 to 14 business days, where we can keep a closer look on them for any type of needs that they may need, whether it be medical or mental health, more than just coming through with the initial processing in through the facility.
And I'll talk a little bit about the difference between a county facility and a DOC facility in a minute, but I think what's important for folks to know is when somebody comes to the DOC as an inmate, they're typically going to have time with us, right? So it's a longer than a 2-year sentence at minimum. So there's time for folks at SEI Camp Hill to classify and find out the programming needs, education needs, housing needs of each of the individuals that come into our custody.
That is correct. And we try and tailor each of our classifications with the assessment tools that we use, that with the testing that we do this first 2 weeks, to determine what exactly we need to provide them to help them be successfully reintegrated back into society when their parole minimum comes up.
Preparing for reentry starts on the first day of incarceration. And you kind of just unprompted kind of spoke to that a little bit. From the very beginning, we're already looking at the idea of reentry.
Correct. We want to set everybody up for success so that we don't have to see them come back or fail once they get out of here.
So most of the men that are coming to your facility for classification have already spent some time, maybe even a significant amount of time, at a county facility. What can inmates bring with them from a county facility to SCI Camp Hill?
There is a list of items typically approved to accompany an inmate for transfer to another correctional institution. Any item that is not approved will come with a decision for the inmate to ship the item home or destroy the item. Items that they can have include legal work on any active cases, a watch, $50 maximum value with only the time, date, and day fixture only on it, identification, photo ID, social security card, birth certificates. But keep in mind, this will be held in the business office until the inmate is ready for parole. One pair of shower shoes, a wedding band, plain with no gemstones attached to it, address book with names, addresses, and numbers, one religious headgear, white only, that fits flush on the head, one religious medallion, 1 1/4 diameter, 26 inches, maximum length of the chain, valued at $100 or less with no gemstones, and one religious publication. And then what we provide them is their initial setup, which includes a plastic cup, a comb, envelopes, and some documentation that they may require for understanding the initial classification process. And one property box that they'll be able to put all of this documentation and information and anything they're allowed to keep inside of while they're in their cell.
Some of the bigger questions we get here in my office has to do with loved ones wanting to call or visit their incarcerated loved one. What's the vetting process like for the phone and visiting list?
We do have a vetting process for folks with a criminal history, victims of their crimes, and crimes against minors. But once the inmate is transferred with their home institution, then they can work with their unit team to adhere to policy to get the facility manager approval to communicate via phone, mail, or visitation to anyone that may have been restricted while they're here in the Diagnostic Classification Center, as we have a very strict vetting process for these phone and visiting lists.
So I think the idea here is patience, right? If somebody is denied initially at SCI Camp Hill during the diagnostic and classification purposes, once they get to their home facility, there's always a process. If you think you've been denied wrongly or you want to appeal, that is done at the person's home facility once they're classified.
That is correct.
All right, last question on the phones, and then I promise we'll move on. But one thing that I haven't been too clear on yet, how do the phones work? Is that the kind of thing? Because I assume that the new guys don't have their commissary set up yet. So can they call collect home, or do they have to have phone cards?
Yes, they can call home collect. However, we do recommend that the family sets up an account with Securus so that they can put money on their loved one's account so that whenever they do try and call home, they have that money available to make a phone call where it isn't collect and might charge them a little bit more than it would if they had not gone through Securus.
If somebody isn't on the phone list, one of the first things that we do, whether it's a reporter that wants to talk to somebody that's incarcerated with us or a loved one, we don't know if they're actually a loved one or not. They claim to be a loved one. They call me and I say, look, we don't control the inmate's phone list. They decide who they want to put on or not. I always recommend them to write to the incarcerated person, tell them, here's my phone number, please add me. Am I on the right track there?
You are. You definitely would want to write to your incarcerated loved one and let them know, hey, here's all my information. Make sure to provide your phone number, your address, your legal name, your date of birth to your person so that they have all the information they need to add them to the phone and or visiting list.
And is that something they should write to them while they're with you at SCI Camp Hill, or is it better to take a breath, wait till they get to their home facility?
Well, to be honest, they can start receiving mail as soon as they have a Department of Corrections number assigned to them.
That's the voice of Miranda Brakebill from SCI Camp Hill. All that information is available at cor.pa.gov in the For Family and Friends section. We have step-by-step instructions on how to write to an incarcerated person in Pennsylvania. We also, Miranda, offer email options.
Yes, we do.
How does that work?
So that's through Connect Network, GTL. There's a fee associated with sending these email messages. However, their incarcerated loved one are able to read the email on the kiosk on the housing unit, or once they get to a home facility and are in general population status, they can purchase a tablet where they can read and send these emails to their loved ones, again, with the fee associated with sending these messages. I was going to say, we also have where if you want to send your loved ones books, calendar, photo books, magazines, there's a processing center that they can send that to. And that's, they just have to use their offender's name, offender number, and that's 268 Bricker Road, Bellefonte, Pennsylvania, 16823. However, we do always suggest to let the incarcerated folks know that they should probably wait until they get to general population status at their home facility to get books, magazines, and sneakers, radios, things like that bought for them, because by the time they get here, they're more than likely going to be processed to their home facility, and it's just going to hold up the process of them getting that item, because it'll come here to Camp Hill, then we'll have to ship it to where they went to, then they'll have to wait for them to get called down and pick that up at their new facility. So it's just better to wait until they get to the home facility to get those things. However, should they want to send those things here, they can. We just strongly encourage that they wait until they get to their home facility to try and get settled into all those other things other than regular mail.
Yeah, makes sense. Now, we talked about phone lists and visitor lists. What about when mom or dad is sitting at home and they're just worried about their son at SCI Camp Hill, new to the DOC system, and they want to call and just check on their loved one, or they want to ask a question about their care or maybe a medical issue, and they just pick up the phone and they want to talk to somebody? Is that possible?
Unfortunately, there is limited information that we can provide to anybody over the phone because we can't verify who we're speaking to. Yes, you could be telling me your mom. Yes, you could be telling me that you are, you know, significant other, things of that nature. But sadly, we can't verify that over the phone. So it is very limited information that we're able to provide whenever you call in. We can let you know that if there were an emergency, that every person who comes in here, we get an emergency contact from, and should there be an issue, we would reach out to that person and let them know what's going on with that incarcerated person.
But again, the person that the inmate chooses to be their emergency contact might not be the person on the outside who wants to be their emergency contact, right?
That is correct. They choose who they want to be their emergency contact.
We touched a little bit on your job title of Corrections Classification and Treatment Manager. What is the classification and diagnostics process like? What are you learning during this whole time?
So basically what we're doing is we have an inmate file for everybody who is incarcerated. That person, they have their own file. And this file includes many different documents about this offender, which includes all of those testings and things that are completed when they first come through the reception housing unit on the first 7-14 business days. And what we do is we input this information into a compiled data entry profile for each offender under their Department of Corrections number. Sadly, some of them do have prior numbers, so we also have to verify nothing has changed since the last time they came through and update anything information background-wise that they have since the last time they came through. But basically, we'll be making sure we get educational and psychological, drug and alcohol requirements, and then we'll address all the areas of concern so that they can be productive members of society when we kick them back out of here. And luckily, we have something called the JRI-2 initiative, which is the Justice Reinvestment Initiative 2, which includes three program tracks that during the classification process, each of them have to decide if they're told that they're eligible for these programs, They have to tell us at classification which they'd like to choose. Now, understand, when they first get here, in that big packet of information that we provide to them, we provide them information on what all these tracks include. And they are short sentence parole, or SSP. We have state drug treatment program, SDTP, and boot camp. And these are all policy and legal guidelines for these programs. So if your loved one is eligible for these programs, they'll decide which track they want to go on, and they'll be given information to determine what's best for them. All of the programs have incentives for their participation, such as short sentence parole. They don't have to see the parole board, and they're automatically paroled at their true minimum. This does exclude their RRRI minimum unless they've completed all of their recommended program prior to this date, because the RRRI program, a requirement of that is they have to complete all the recommended programming for that. Many times the offenders are going to come into the facility with credit time, which makes this RRRI minimum so close that they're unable to complete the programming prior to this date. The state drug treatment consists of the following: a minimum of 7 months in an SCI, 4 of those months which have to be spent in a TC or a therapeutic community. Then the SDTP participant is released to the community to participate in a minimum of 2 months in an inpatient SUD or substance use disorder program. Followed by that, they are transitioned to a CCC-CCF or an approved home plan to participate in a minimum of 6 months of outpatient SUD treatment. And finally, once all treatment requirements have been met successfully, the remainder of the 24-month sentence is for continued supervised reintegration into the community. And then lastly, the boot camp. They have to complete 6 months of the boot camp, and that is, like the name says, just paramilitary. And they also have to do their recommended programmings, and at which time, if they're successfully complete the boot camp program, they're automatically paroled to then be on parole for the remainder of their sentence. So once this classification process is completed and one of these tracks are selected, then central office will determine the facility placement on a set of guidelines that they have. I like to stress to everybody to let them know that the diagnostic center nor the counselor makes the decision on home facility placement. Our goal is always to send their loved one to a facility where they can start treatment and have it completed prior to the minimum so that they can be ready to see parole, so that they can hopefully get home to their loved ones as quickly as possible. So that's the ultimate goal of the diagnostic classification process in a whole, is to get the programs recommended so we can get them home to their families. Also, just so they know, if an offender is not eligible for any of these three tracks, they will serve the entirety of their sentence, but they see parole approximately 4 months before their minimum. While the unit team and the administration does give feedback in the support or lack of support for an offender for parole, the board has the final determination on if an offender is granted parole or must complete additional programming or maintain a longer period of positive adjustment before they can be re-released back to society.
And I think that's important to let folks know too, right? In Pennsylvania, you're going to serve at least your minimum. There's no like time off for good behavior or anything like that. You're eligible for parole at your minimum date.
That is correct. The only incentive would be that RRRI program, but that's something that the judge has to sentence you to, and it has to be in the sentencing orders.
Miranda Brayfield from SCI Camp Hill. Is there anything else? We are running short on time. Maybe a top two or three things that you get questions at your facility from the outside, from the loved ones, that you would like people to know, just to make the whole adjustment process easier.
So the most important thing I wish family members would know is that when they first get here to the Department of Corrections, it takes time to process all the paperwork to allow their incarcerated loved one a little bit of time. Have patience and give the system time to process. We completely understand that you want to communicate and see your loved one, and we also realize that your incarcerated loved one is very important to you. However, we have to treat everyone the same and process them all in the same manner. We currently have a little over 1,000 diagnostic offenders at this time, and we try and process all the paperwork within 14 business days. We try our best to do that, but 1,000 people at one time, That's a lot for anybody, but we do a pretty good job at it. You know, please understand that they cannot call and speak to a staff member to have messages relayed to their incarcerated loved one. Also understand that it's very limited in the information that our staff are able to provide over the phone. And if they're told by a staff member they cannot provide the information, it's for the safety of your loved one and not meant to be cruel or unhelpful. And we strongly recommend that you speak with your incarcerated loved one to find out the information you wish to know. Also, if your incarcerated loved one is unsure of anything, they can use the offender request a staff system to ask questions and receive the answers so they can provide them to you. This is there's always unit staff on each housing unit that they are able to speak with and write requests to that they can get information provided to them. And also, the most important thing is make sure that the families check out the Department of Corrections family website so they can get all this information that we discussed today from online and look it up at any time that they need to.
That website again, cor.pa.gov. You can always check us out on social media for a glimpse inside our facilities as well. We're at Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Corrections PA. Thanks again to Miranda Brakebill, the Corrections Classification and Treatment Manager at SEI Camp Hill. On behalf of Executive Producer Kurt Bope, thank you for listening. I'm Ryan Tarkowski. Until next time.